Ladies and gentlemen, fellow Americans, lady Americans, this is James Brown. I want to talk to you about one of our most deadly killers in the country today. I had a dream the other night, and I was sitting in my living room, just dozed off to sleep, so I started dreaming. I dream I walked in a place, and I saw a real strange, weird object standing up talking to the people, and I found out it was heroin, that deadly drug that go in your veins. He said, I came to this country without a passport. Ever since then, I've been hunted and sought. My little white grains are nothing but waste, soft and deadly and bitter to taste. But I'm a world of power, and all know it's true. Use me once, and you'll know it too. I can make a mere schoolboy forget his books. I can make a world-famous beauty neglect her looks. I can make a good man forsake his wife and a greedy man to prison for the rest of his life. I can make a man forsake his country and flag. Make a girl sell her body for a $5 bag. Some think my adventure's a joy and a thriller, but I'll put a gun in your hand and make you trouble. In cellophane bags, I found my way to heads of state, to children at play. I financed in China, ran in Japan. I'm respected in Turkey, and I'm legal in Siam. I take my addicts and make them steal, borrow, beg. Then they search for a vein in the arm or the leg. So be you Italian, Jewish, black or Mex, I can make the most virile of men forget their sex. So now my man, you must, you know, do your best to keep up your habit until your arrest. Now the police have taken you from under my wing. Do you think they dare defy me, I who am king? Now, you must lie in that county jail, where I can't get to you by visit or mail. So spoil with discomfort, wiggle and cough. 6 days of madness, and you might throw me off. Curse me in name, defy me in speech, but you'd pick me up right now if I were in your reach. All through your summer, you become resolved to your fate. Fear not, young man or woman, I'll be waiting at the gate. And don't be afraid, don't run, I'll not chase. Sure my name is heroin, and you'll be back for a taste. Behold, you're hooked. Your foot is in the stirrup. And make haste, mount the steed, and ride him well. For the white horse of heroin will ride you to hell. To hell. Will ride you to hell until you are dead. Dead, brother. Dead. This is a revolution of the mind. Get your mind together and get away from drugs. That's the man.
It's the Godfather. James Brown, King Heron. Good morning, everybody. It is a little cloudy here in South Sacramento, Elk Grove to be exact. It's four after the hour, and I just wanted to start off and say that, man, the men's healing circle, it is what is needed. Just brothers getting together. We don't got to even call it a name like I keep saying. We don't have to put a name on it. It's brothers coming in love and letting the spirit, see, when the spirit come in the room, we got to invite that spirit in and welcome that spirit. That's the spirit that we live with. We can't live without it. Let me get to this show, man. My mic's on. Good morning, everybody. Without further ado, it is Mr. Marvell Wilson for you, the host with the most. Marvell.
Good morning, Tim, and good morning to our faithful family contributors and to the population of people that we reach and hopefully we can expand that population as we continue to move forward, carrying messages about what it is that we have to learn how to deal with to make each other a body. So thank you once again for your participation, and I look forward to this conversation for the next couple of hours. It seems to fly by once we get started. So let's get started.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ashe, Double R in the car.
Yes, sir. Double R in the car. Top of the morning. My black family.
Yes, sir.
Let's
yes,
get
sir.
It in. Reparations? No problem.
Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Mark your disciple.
Grand rising kings and queens, it is another beautiful day for us to be blessed and be a blessing in every way.
Ashe. Brother Sherman.
Good morning, everyone. God be with you all.
Ashe. First Lady of Radio, Miss Clarice.
Good morning. I just tuned in. I'll probably be listening to part of this show today. I'm having a little minor procedure done this morning, so I won't be able to chime in, but I will when I can. Thank you.
We lift you up in prayer. Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. We have a caller from the 519. Caller checking in. Good morning to you. Caller
well,
from
good
the
morning.
51.
Oh.
Good morning.
Did you say 51987?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, good morning, family. This is Queen Amina, South Sacramento, Meadowview, Food Desert.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Queen. I know you have information for us, so I'm going to pass it over to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
Yes, yes. Okay, and I was waiting for Mama Chocolate to come in because, you know she's in Sacramento. She called me yesterday and said that we're going to meet, and then Taylor is with her. So we're supposed to, I guess we'll get together after the program and break bread and see see what it is that we can negotiate for future references to the concerns, right? So we're looking forward to this day to talk. At least I am. I'm looking forward to sharing. We call it Grateful Thursday. So what we attempt to do is share. You know, we have a lot of challenges as a people, but we do have some triumphs. And this is a day that we want to focus on the triumphs so that we can have some encouragement toward the upliftment of our people by letting it be known that despite the fact that we're constantly enduring, we do find joy every now and then. So I'll open the floor, and if you want to hear me first, I'll give my report. I'll see. I'll give a couple of seconds to see if anybody wants to volunteer something enlightening and something enriching to the spirit. But if not, I'll proceed and tell you my story. It was recent, and it was powerful.
Well, I'll start
Sherman.
It off. Okay, go ahead, Brother Sherman.
So Del Paso Heights got a new councilman. So I listened to a lot of radio, and black people dies 5 to 7 years earlier than any other race. That's about all I have. I yield back.
Ashe, Ashe. And so I started off with the Men's Healing Circle, man. There's a brother that came in last night. I ain't calling no names, but he came in and he started in 2014 with us, right? And, you know, sometimes we come and we go, and sometimes we come and we go, and we lose contact. And so it was good to see the brother. He pulled in and, you know, represented, and you know, it was good to see the brother, man. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about love, because then we talked after the circle, man, and he was telling me about the things that, you know, his daughters, that's what his life of being clean or his life of moving forward, he attached it to something, right? And this is just for y'all that's out there that might be struggling right now. he had to attach himself to something. It was his two daughters. And last night, he was so proud to say that his daughters is not having, they don't have babies, they're not married, they have a PhD, a master's degree, and I know this to be true, right? And so he attached his change to his daughters, and that right there gave him the strength to be who he is now. And I told him, man, I'm praying for you. I want you to stand tall. I hope he called today. I want you to stand tall through it all because, you know, it's a struggle out here, man, you know. And he missing a limb, right? He in a wheelchair. And so he don't look at his disability. That's why I was so proud of him. I said, man, you moving. There's people with two legs ain't moving. I'm going to pass the mic, man. I'm going to pass the mic.
Okay, meantime, there seems to be some distortion. Matter of fact, it doesn't seem to be. There is some distortion. And we'd appreciate the mutation of the mics. Thank you.
Sound like teeing out fishing.
I got it. I got it. It was brother. It was Sherm. And Sherman, you know, he moving. So carry on.
Okay. So on the heels of people talking about their daughters and their sons and the relationships that they've had, I didn't come with that at first. I came, it was lingering, but when I started hearing it, it really started stirring me up because I have I'm estranged from three of my children by marriage. My eldest daughter, my eldest son, and the middle son. I have another son that we talk periodically, and I have a granddaughter with him. I have a granddaughter with my middle son. I have a grandson and a granddaughter with my eldest daughter, and I've only seen my grandson with my daughter once in real life. I've only seen my granddaughter with my eldest daughter once, and I've seen my daughter once in 22 years. Reason being that I don't know what the reason is. Let me say this. I don't know what the reason is, but for some reason, she has disengaged from fatherhood to daughterhood to the point to where I talk to her mother, and her mother tells me that she told her not to give me her telephone number. So when I was sitting in there and I was hearing this, it just kind of boiled up on me, the distance that I have with my children compared to the closeness that they were talking about there. So I brought it to the table. And I thank God that operates through people when they remove themselves and get out of the way and let that spirit flow through. Because we give the best advice as a rule anyway. I'll say me. I give the best advice that I don't take a lot of times, right? And then sometimes I give the advice and recognize, hey, that's good. You need to use that yourself, and I'll use it. So I think that was happening yesterday where people had the advice that they were using, and it was working for them. Now it's working for me. So they gave me a lot of fodder for consideration how to deal with this situation, because I try to pretend a lot. I just kind of like get to say I accept it, that, okay, well, they don't want to communicate. They're grown. My kids are, I ain't gonna call them kids. My children, I ain't gonna call, well, what do I call them? Because they're adults now. So when my offspring are 37, 36, and 34. They're stair-step kids, and I raised them from 0 to 6, all of them, because my ex-wife was a upper middle class single child. She knew nothing about children, and I saw it. And so I didn't want to risk them being spoiled and unaccountable. So I took jobs at night. I washed trucks with a pressure washer. I washed garbage trucks at night. I washed fleets of cars while cars are parked overnight. That's what the job I had was to go in there and wash those cars while they were parked so that I can have the days to groom the children, because I recognized what I didn't get from my father, I wanted to make sure they got from me. And so we had a good relationship up until their teenage years when we got separated. And, we were talking about divorce, but we separated and they moved. And now my visitation was kind of a strain coming across town because they lived on the other side of town, and I had to go across town, and then it started getting to be like they didn't want to participate, and then if I wasn't spending money or nothing, then going to take them to the mall and you know, all that stuff, and I didn't groom them like that, so I was getting kind of fatigued with them constantly like trying to blackmail me into spending money instead of spending time. So we started distancing ourselves in that regard, but then it got to the point where we were not communicating at all. And now, after all of these years, communication is very, very, lack of communication is seemingly very easy for them. So I'm saying all that to say that when I sat in that forum yesterday, and I shared what was going on with me, and the brothers started telling me about how they have, some of them have the same kind of circumstance where the children distance themselves and don't want to talk. One brother said he ain't talked. He said his daughter won't talk to him or his son won't talk to him. And another one said the same, said that their children don't talk to them. And it's sad to say, but I'm glad to say that they helped me get a better perspective about what it is that I would do well to do for myself. And my wife kept saying, well, just do, little greetings and, just let them know you're here, but don't put any pressure on them. Just holler at them and let them know that you're thinking about them and keep it light and that kind of thing, which I'm willing to consider because I've been walking around with a grudge, like, how dare y'all? How y'all going to put me on punishment? I'm 70 years old. How you going? You kids, me on punishment. Because that's what I feel like. I used to put them in the corner when they did stuff, and then now they got me in the corner and won't let me out. So I'm just saying that my good report is that everything that I experienced last night was everything I needed, ushered through the Spirit of God for me to be relieved of the tension and the angst of not having a good communication with my offspring. And I have a better perspective now, and I feel lighter now. I don't have that weight anymore. And I want to thank the Brotherhood for that. And I want to thank God for the Brotherhood. And I yield.
And I just want to say the spirit in that room, I said that in my check-in. The spirit. See, if we allow the spirit to move and get out the way like you said, man, you said some powerful stuff right there, Marvell, brother. Hey, man, to our listeners out there, I hope you're listening. For when someone really pours their heart out, it's healing. That's what that is. That man is healing right now. So if there's something that you need to heal from, that's a way to start it right there. Get it off your chest. Amen. We love you, bro. And the biggest word that all them brothers told you that went through or going through the same thing you're going through, they said leave the door of communication open. Mr. Willie Green said that. Brother Tim said that. It was a few of them. And so, brother, blessings to you. Blessings to you. We lift you up. We encourage you, and we inspire you to continue to be you, because God has a way of moving things through all of us, and he's doing a great job through you. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
It's the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's 20 after the hour, wherever you're at. We are talking about Thankful Thursday. I'm thankful. Hey, you can hear it in my voice. I'm well right now. I was sick for about 2 weeks. Man, Marvell kept saying, man, you can't shake that. Man, I couldn't shake that, man. I kept running to the bathroom. You know, that when you got that film on your lungs or wherever that mucus, wherever that come from, excuse me for being derogatory or whatever they say, whatever, you know, for being graphic. But I was sick, man, and God healed me, and now I'm just filled with joy and I'm thankful. See, it don't have to be that I got $1,000 or I got a brand new car to make me happy. My health is my wealth, y'all, and I'm going to pass this mic. Mark the Disciple, what's going on?
Grand Rising once again. I'm truly blessed and thankful just to have a peace of mind. That's something I've managed to maintain for quite a few years now, ever since I was 34 and when God saved me. And prior to that, I had a peace of mind then, just didn't know it. Didn't have nothing really bother me, nothing overwhelming to me, because I guess I was being growing up a loner. I never allowed things to overwhelm me. I knew early on that if I couldn't change it, fix it, or do anything about it, wouldn't no need to worry about it. And that's the gift that God gave me, you know, to maintain my peace. But other than that, my brother, you know, it's a blessing to be amongst real men who can open up and put it all out there, because that's how we heal. And that's how we heal one another. When one man speaks on something and we all get together and expound on it, it helps us to heal. Because we all have hurts, pains, and traumas. But that's the part of being a man. We don't talk about it until it's time to talk about it. And that's what I thank God for the healing circle for. You know, you did a good thing there, Tim, listening to God when you brought that circle together. See, you know, it's like you say, it's no big I's and little U's, because you started it, and we're the glue. Each man is a stick of glue. We're sticking to one another, helping and healing one another. And, you know, the brother in the wheelchair, when he left last night, he had left his lights on in his car. You know, that brother gets around better on one leg than most of us can on two. He could hop faster than any of us. That brother jumped out that car, hooked them cables up, and got his car going, you know. But it's a blessing when you hear others' testimonies. As somebody used to like about church, the testimony service. But anyway, I'm going to digress and let somebody else get in and share their experiences and joyfulness.
I say. Let me just say this. I want to pray for Brother Joe. He might not be on here this morning. Joe been going through some challenging times with his health, right? He don't like to talk about it, but I want us to pray for him. I'm not trying to put him on the spot, but, yeah, I'm putting him on the spot because I need us to pray for him, man, and ask the Most High to continue to cover him. That's just a request from me, and appreciate y'all. Anyway, so Marvell, man, again, man, last night was powerful. So I just want you to know, man, you wear it. If your day is going well, man, you wear it, man. You glow like the moon up above on a full moon night. You glow like that. But when you shut down and I've never seen you in that state. I know you. I tell you, I pay attention. So when I seen you come in the door, it looked like you was, your eyes was, you know how they say deer staring in the headlights. Well, that's what you looked like, man. And then you sat down, and then there became a puzzled look. And I said, hold it. I don't be calling people out, but I had to recognize you at that point because I don't want you to be in there, you know, and we moving way past you because we still doing check-in, but we need to check in right now when I see that look because I know your look. And so, brother, I'm glad that you got fed last night. That's all I want you to know is that I'm glad you got fed, and I'm praying that you continue to get fed because the healing process of anything is until we leave this earth. So we're going to heal forever. Oh, you said it earlier. We have good days. We have some good moments, and we're thankful for them. So I'm going to speak about mine today because, you know, every day becomes a struggle, and we shouldn't even be struggling. We're not a struggling people. But like Mark said, we didn't got domesticated. We ain't Negroes no more. You know, the Negroes, they was hard to the pavement, right? We African Americans, we ain't picking no cotton, we ain't pulling no fruit, we ain't, you know. I'm just saying for some laughs. Peace and blessings to our people, man. One thing I want you to take away from everything you hear on the Wise Words with One Gone Show is that we come in love. I'm going back to our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell, do you want to introduce Mama Roz? Because I know she's still on the line, and she's got a powerful testimony. So can we move that way, Marvell?
Yes, we certainly can. I'm really pleased. I was pleased to hear her voice because she's been trying to get in. Like, it's been a situation where I've had people call me afterwards and say, I tried to get in, and they couldn't get in, right? So I think Mama Roz, Queen Amina, was attempting to get in before, and for some reason she wasn't able to. So I'm really pleased that she was able to get in now. And I'd like to, first of all, I've mentioned the BUCA several times because the BUCA is at the foundation stage of building an organization that will be hopefully a consortium, meaning a conglomeration, a gathering of all businesses, black nonprofits, and entrepreneurs, and skilled, in art, in the art and areas of art as well, to create a foundation where we can pool our resources, support each other, and then be able to attract, because we have such a solid foundation, attract the funds that the government has available to build communities. It's just that, as it stands right now, there is no one establishment who has the kind of credibility that could attract, you know, a sizable amount of money from the government. And even if the government does not do it, we can do it ourselves. We're at the base of that, and she is one of the officers there. Her and Zion Zadesi is one of the other officers, and I'm graced to be an officer as well of this organization. And we're at the foundation stage, and we're growing, and we're attracting what we need to get the job done. But Queen Amina also is a professional in agriculture. You know, when she gets to talking about agriculture, it's like, okay. She talks about agriculture like I talk about drug awareness, and that's pretty well rounded because, you know, I feel like there might be a lot of people who know as much about that situation, but not that many who know more. And I feel the same way about her when she talks about agriculture. So Queen Amina, if you're on, I appreciate it if you come on and give us a little some nuggets and give us some encouragement about what it is that agriculture could represent for our people in the future in this country.
Well, good morning, family, and thank you for that lovely, that fantastic introduction. I didn't know I was all that. What I know is I'm hungry, and my babies be hungry. And to bring it all together, that is the whole purpose. People have to feed their children. I've always gardened, so it's a natural part of me. I started gardening with my grandmother at the age of 4. And as all of us know, basically we didn't have income. We all were poor. So you had to have a garden to supplement the family food supply. And we took pride in growing our vegetables and having our chickens and having our hogs and, you know, feeding ourselves, because our roots start in the South under slavery. But I need not to wander, because my thoughts go back and forth on the issue of our labor, because I'm very passionate about our labor and reparations. But back to food. But it's all the same in my mind. Food, you have to grow your own food. So I like to say that I empower with sharing information, because I can't teach. I'm not trying to teach nobody nothing. But I will share with you what I know. And what I know is how to start some seeds with little or nothing. Meaning, when we were in Sunday school, little children, and even me as an adult parent teaching Sunday school, we did the same lesson. And we had to learn our Bible verses. This particular Bible verse, which is in my mission statement, Matthew 17:20, faith of a mustard seed. So for the little children, the 4-year-olds, the 3-year-olds, the 5- and 6-year-olds, we took plastic cups. We put two or three cotton balls in there. We moistened them and sprinkled 2 or 3, 4 mustard seeds on there. Put them in the window. They begin to grow. And it was teaching us faith. All you have to have is this amount of faith, the belief. So when these little mustard seeds would grow, we children, I know I did, I brought mine home to my mom and she was all happy. And when I did that same exercise with children as a parent, when they took theirs home, they were very proud of their little mustard seed plants. And they took them home to their parents and they began to grow them. So I know that we can just have a pot, a bottle, or anything. You don't even need soil. You can do water. You can start vegetables in water and then transplant them. Or you don't even have to transplant them, because some of the leafy greens will sprout in the water, and you can see all of the root systems. But you can begin to pick those leaves and have some nutritional value. And the reason I'm kind of on this rant is because I live in a food desert. We've been working with the powers that be, city council, the mayor, and the developers and investors and different people, and we just could not achieve a grocery store in my area. Why? One of the guys, or two of the people who were investors, said that they could not do it unless they had dedicated income streams, revenue income streams. What were those dedicated revenue income streams? Tobacco and alcohol. Oh, I don't think so. No, we're not doing that. Everybody said, no, we're not doing that. We're not bringing any more of that into our community. It's killing us. We got our young people starting. We got our young people starting these bad habits at the age of 12 and 13. Not happening.
Come on.
So consequently, we don't have a grocery store. But we don't need a grocery store. Start our own farmer's market. And that's really where I am. I'm bringing a farmer's market to the 24th and Florence properties that will speak to us. Now, I am very much aware that our city council person is bringing a farmer's market to Meadowview. But that's for the community, and that's fine. I don't see it as competition at all. But what I do know is that I have a niche, and my niche is me and my black skin and my black babies and my black community, my black brothers and sisters. That's my niche population that I want to serve. So I will be bringing culturally curated vegetables, those things that we like to eat, to the market. That's what I'll be growing. Black-eyed peas, okra, yams, all of those things, squash, melons, all of those things that we will eat. Oh, I've just learned so much about mustard greens and turnip greens and all the different varieties. It's like I never knew. But now I do know, and I not only know the different varieties, I've gone to the next level of research, education, knowledge, and understanding to what are the nutritional values of each one of these plants. How do they supply us with what we need? Because one of the things, as I said before, I'm labor. In my work career, I worked for the state for over 35 years. I worked for the legislature for over 10 years. And within that time, I've always been a union. I was born a union baby, but I began to be the union steward, a grievance rep. And by the time I retired from state service, I had reached the status of chief steward. So within all of that time, I learned to write grievances against management because a grievance is a breach in the contract, working conditions, and wages. I learned how to file grievances and represent my coworkers in front of management and in front of the California Labor Relations Board. I learned how to organize a campaign and organize my worksite and organize all of those that are still in my classification, meaning clerical and allied services. That's everybody, because the only thing that they really recognize as the first level is fire and police, and everybody else is miscellaneous. So there you go. But organizing on issues that impact us, not only organizing but creating campaigns, moving the ball forward, putting pressure on elected officials, educating the public, because an educated, literate voter is one of the most powerful tools that I can have in my toolbox to make something happen. I share with my kids, we're not superheroes. You're not a superhero. You can't save anybody. But you can be an action figure. Take action.
Ashe, so Queen, let me ask you this. With your working knowledge and your skill level, you say you don't want to teach. But I dare to say that, you know, we're going to need you to go to fall into that mold, because I hope you agree that agriculture is probably our niche as a people to start developing our ability to distribute and to control that market. So we're going to need you. And not only that, but we're aware of a lot of other people who are hands-on with agriculture and doing a good job of representing, of creating and grooming of the type of foods that we're going to need for our health sake, right? Because not only are we talking about making stuff that we like and tastes good, that's what our ancestors survived on and thrived on. They were healthy people. They lived long, healthy lives, right? My grandmother would live to 90, 95, right?
Yes.
So, and because of her coming off a farm and knowing all of those necessities and nutrients that are in the soil and in the crops, and she lived like that, right? So we're going to need to fuse together a plan to teach people, and I said teach. You say you want to share, but I say be prepared to teach if you don't mind. So
we appreciate
all your knowledge and expertise, and we're not going to try to do a tutorial on it here. We're going to make sure that people who are interested, are we going to generate interest with people, know with the knowledge that we're attempting and going to be successful at going back to our roots and having our agricultural skills become an industry for us in this country.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, so right
let's
on.
Take action.
Right on.
Let's take, here's the first action, a call to action. Let's have a seed starting party. It starts with a seed. It starts with a seed. Let's have a seed starting party and be self-sufficient. We can start our mustard seeds now. We can start all of our leafy greens. We can start our melons now. And we can have those. And what I'm sharing and empowering people with or teaching, we can do it in buckets. I just went to Home Depot and got those 5-gallon buckets. And within those buckets, I can do a Three Sisters, but as you said, we don't want to do a tutorial. But this is a call to action. I'd like to have a seed starting party. I'd like to start 2,000 seeds and distribute them. I have the seeds. I don't charge. That's why I say I don't teach. I like to share because I don't like to charge. I don't like to charge people for food. For me, that is just so against my spirit. But we have soil. I have the space. You can walk away with it and just put it in the sun, in a sunny window, give it some water, watch it. Then when it gets to be tall, let's put it in something bigger because it has to get bigger. And just understand it takes 70 days to get a watermelon, baby. And I want my watermelons. My melons, that's my go-to food. But not to take up too much time, I'd like to have a call to action, and that would be a seed starting party. And within that seed starting party, everyone can either walk away with their seeds or they can leave them, and as they grow, they can come and get them. And the beauty of this idea that I had is you can become an entrepreneur because for the farmers market that I'm creating, everyone can show up as their own individual vendor to sell what they have grown. So you will have some income, you know, at a small scale. It's chump change. It's gas. You know, it's a loaf of bread, it's whatever, you know, it's chump change. But it can be taken to scale and become an income source that you can depend on, because then people will know, oh, Marvell got greens. Let me go over here and get some greens from Marvell. Or we know Brother John or whomever, Brother Gary, got sweet potatoes. And the other good thing, sweet potatoes is a twofer. Ooh, it is the gift that keeps on giving. You have your tuber in the ground and above ground, all of these beautiful green leaves. And I found out that all of those green leaves from those sweet potato plants are the best greens. Oh, my gosh. It's like spinach on steroids. In addition to that, You're saving space. You don't pull them until you need them. You don't clutter up the refrigerator. You don't have the refrigerator to clean out. You're saving labor. You're saving time. You're saving money. And it's beautiful. People don't know that you're growing sweet potatoes. They just think you got a whole bunch of green vines and leaves growing in your yard to make it beautiful. So twofer that I would push out really quick for people. Grow your own sweet potatoes, baby. Be ready for Thanksgiving. Be ready for Kwanzaa. You start now, you'll be ready then. So, my brother Marvell, I'll turn it back over to you because, you know, I was an early talker and an early reader.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I see, you know, because of your knowledge base and your passion about this particular area, it's reflected in what you present. And I like the idea of getting, particularly our youth, starting a project with them, just having them see something grow, right? And they're responsible for its growth, right? So that's a transcending kind of message. They can see how growth and how nurturing growth has an impact on the spirit. So but we're going to go into a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to open up the lines for comments and back to the subject of being grateful, and some people can share what their gratitudes or what their attitudes toward their gratitudes are after this message.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Lauren Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
Brothers Healing Together.
Brothers Healing Together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Warren Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Warren Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up?
With attention, sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
So I see Double R had his hand up, and I didn't get it because the number one didn't work for him. So I'm going to Double R right now. He's been trying to get in. So Double R, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you. First of all, grateful for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he always got my back. So another thing, I'm thankful for the sister that's on here that's speaking about agriculture. And I have a question. First of all, let me make a statement. You know that we are high in everything negative in physical and medical, you know, blood pressure, cancer, and all that. I was told and did a little research that broccoli is the most powerful thing for us blacks because, you know, our bodies are different the way we eat, our diet and everything. And it prevents a whole lot and it cures a whole lot. Is that true? And if not, what is the best vegetable for us? And I yield. I appreciate you.
Is that directed toward me? Is that question for Queen Amina?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, to Sister Amina. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. To you.
Well, I can't say specifically that there's any one vegetable. And, in fact, there is not one thing. It is a variety and a complement because each vegetable has its own nutritive values and properties. So it has to be in a combination thereof. And then everybody's body is different. Everybody has a different blood type. I've been anemic all my life. So I was, you know, the doctors told my parents, she needs more iron. How did I get that iron? That iron was from raisins and spinach and organ meats. But they say to us that those organ meats have too much fat in it and it contributes to cholesterol. So what else can I do? I have to go back to the leafy greens, the spinach and the sweet potato leaves and other leafy greens that have iron in it, and also the other root crops and vegetables, the sweet potatoes, the carrots, the beets, those kinds of things. So do not get pigeonholed into the marketing and the advertising of a superfood. They are all superfoods. You need some of everything. You need a variety. And that's how you get your cumulative or your nutritional values for that day. It's a variety. So we can do more exploration and bring it to the table, bring that knowledge to share and empower others on their health conditions. One of the things that I am creating is a juicing garden for those who like to juice. Grow your own. No pesticides. The real thing is get rid of the pesticides. Get rid of the chemicals that deter, that slow down the ripening, because understand, our food, if your food is not grown local, this is why our people live to be 90 and 100. They ate from the garden. It was right there. If your food is not where you can touch it, it has to be shipped in. So when it's transported, it's picked early because it's at least 2 days of transportation. And within that timeline, it's going to ripen. So if you pick it when it's ripe, by the time we get it, it's dead. I mean, it's already dead when you pick it, but it has begun to deteriorate. That's why you see green bananas, picking them before they are ripe. And by the time we get them and let them sit on the table for a day or two, they become ripe. And then we can eat them. The sugars are up. The flesh is more digestible. As green, it's not, our stomachs, our enzymes, our intestines don't break it down as well, and you get those stomach cramps. But there's no one food. It's a variety of foods. And we can do a classroom. I just signed up for edible classroom, but not to take up too much time on the floor. Thank you, my brother, for that question. It was a wonderful question because it's a path that I went down until I understood it's not just one thing. It's everything. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to tell I'm going to tell y'all, she made her, we had a meeting at the house and she asked me, did I want some soup? And I said, yeah. So I think when she went out in the front yard and put together a hookup, and when I got to the house, I was putting it away, and then my wife said, "Well, what you got?" And I told her, and I was trying to like get a little something, because you know I get kind of stingy with food stuff with between me and her. Some stuff I know she don't like, and I'm rubbing my hands together. And when she liked this, I looked up and the soup was gone, man. And I'm like, a baby girl. Because Queen told me to make sure, you know, they gave me enough for her. But, you know, I was just letting her get a taste. And I looked at the container. I said, what happened to it? Oh, she said, I hate that. That was good. That was
and
good.
You know,
I'm talking about pulled it right out of the yard.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is fresh with no pesticides, no growth retardants, all of that stuff. Oh, my gosh. You know what, if you want to make me happy, bring me a baby and let me make that baby some soup and some food from the garden and then watch that baby. That's what makes me happy. Oh, my gosh.
Right on.
They play well. Ooh, and they loving up on you. Ooh, I don't want to leave you. Can I stay with you? No, go home with your mama.
Right on.
But
right on. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Eat some good food,
right,
baby. That will warm your heart. That's how you feed people. Feed them. Thank you.
Right on. Okay, folks. So we had a lot to take in regard to how we can start doing our household gardening. And I haven't gotten hands on with it, but my wife does stuff around, and she's always planting and transplanting. Not vegetables, but a lot of plants with the exotic plants, because we have a friend that has an exotic plant. She has her company is Exotic Plants, and we get a lot of stuff from her, and we transplant these Chinese trees and all that stuff. I'm gonna swing her over to some. Have Queen Amina give me a hint on what to swing her over to, so we can start grooming some edibles and get that started, because again, we're projecting that once we get established through reparations or through whatever vehicle that allows us an opportunity to pool our resources and invest in each other and in ourselves, it's going to be likely agriculture. That's probably the smartest investment we could start with. It's not to say that we're limited to any investment, but probably the smartest investment to start with would be agriculture, because it has that's a twofer. It's a necessity for the general population, but it's also vital for our population to start looking at new ways to provide nutrition to our body that's not harmful. We're not eating stuff that got sprays on it and eating stuff that's been treated. They're so clever about making stuff look like it's fresh when it's really not. Because just like Queen Amina said, if something coming from another part of the state, they have to make sure that by the time it gets here, it looks like it's fresh. And, you know, they have chemists and they have scientists and they got all kinds of professionals who can assist that process to make it look like it. But, you know, we all know that, or at least I know, and I hope you know, that there's some folks that are master at disguising stuff, right? And we don't want to let our food continue to be as being fresh when it's being treated. So we got an opportunity right now to look at this new way of having nutrition and generating our foundation for industry, because we are the real agriculturalists in this country. We are.
So
we're going back
brother.
To our roots. We're going back to our roots. Right on.
Can I put something out there real quick? When I graduated from high school and started college, I was recruited for the computer science industry. That was what was, on the horizon for all of us. the new big change, you know, from the Industrial Revolution to the, you know, all of this internet. But my first internship was with Monsanto. Monsanto has the seeds. At that time, they were using us interns to run programs or develop and write code and programs that would genetically modify the seeds. This was in 1969 and 1970, and that's when I became aware. And what they said was, they were trying to design seeds that would survive the droughts in Africa and in other places on the planet. But I didn't see it as that because I was educated up under Jim Crow. And up under Jim Crow, we studied people in Africa, and we knew they were herds, persons, plains people, and they migrate and they move around. So you're talking about upsetting the whole culture, the whole flow, the whole ecosystem when you bring in these seeds. In addition to that, being educated under Jim Crow and living Jim Crow, I know about sharecropping. So if you own the seeds, you still got us back in this sharecropping situation. Whoever, Gil Scott-Heron said it, whoever owns and controls the resources, they control you. So that's why I'm so passionate about us and our seeds and our labor. We got to do this for ourselves, and we can do it. I'm calling for a seed starting party. Take it from me, Marvell. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So what we need to do is as well as we're doing with most of our ventures is to prepare some sort of literature, a visual aid, and you know, set a time and a date and a place, and just get that started. Right. That's the course of action that I've seen works better. Word of mouth about such ventures, it might not sound that exciting. We have to be clever and attract people to a venture like this and get it started. And once started, I would dare to say that it's going to have the type of impact that we're looking for. Because when kids start seeing stuff grow, just like when they have pets, let's put it in a pet frame. Let's say we're framing it like that you can groom this like a pet, right? And you have to be responsible for feeding your pet and nurturing your pet and watching your pet flourish, right?
Amen.
So I think that's a good idea. So we can put that in motion. Just got to get a format and get it prepared and get it presented to these local social agencies and especially the Florence Square. So that's a formula I think that we can do.
Brother Marvell,
yes.
I got two things. I got Bishop on. I'm going to put Bishop on. I heard him say amen, so he know his mic is on. I'm letting him know. I'm going to get to him in just a second. But I want to talk to Queen Amina. We don't got to wait a long time while we got some kids next, what is that, Tuesday. Because the following Tuesday, me and you going to go down to the City Hall and raise hell. But let's bring them to the healing circle and do a bucket project. All you got, one bag, two bags, just a demo. While we got their kids,
yeah.
You come on for 15 minutes, but put that dirt in that bucket, that 5-gallon bucket, you say. Bring a seed or two. Show them what you got to do. Drop it in there and then let it grow wherever it's going to grow. Bring it back to them. See, this is what y'all did. Can we do something like that?
We can do something like that if Brother Tim bring some red wigglers hooked on fishing.
Okay,
not
I got
mountain.
You.
I need my red wigglers.
I got you. Hey, so we have Bishop on. Bishop, go ahead and say hello to the folks, and then we're going to give you some time to speak your mind. Bishop, you're on.
Hello, how y'all doing, everybody?
Hey, buddy.
Blessed.
Blessed, blessed. I appreciate y'all so much. Thank God and everything for, and thank God for all of y'all, you know, and the work y'all are doing, you know. It's a great thing, you know. And,
But Bishop, can you introduce yourself to the listeners that may not know who you are before you get into what you're going to talk about? Introduce yourself, Bishop, please.
I am Bishop Henry Williams, a leader, civil rights leader, a three-time whistleblower, and also a private attorney general for the state of California. Okay, and I've been working in the community in San Francisco and Oakland for over 50 years, okay? So I want you to know I'm a teamster, a retired teamster for 40 years in the teamster, and I have some connection with the top people in Washington, D.C., you know, and with all the teamster black caucus. And I have some money I can get from black caucus. I just need some big money, okay? Now, this railroad case, I've been working on that for 40-some years, okay? Now, the railroad people, I had a $250 billion in court in 2004. And the jury dismissed it. Okay, for $250 billion. I'm going to double that now. I'm trying to get a case in court now for $500 billion. Not $500 billion, but $5 billion. Okay? So that's what I'm working to do now because I want to feed my people's money from the railroad cases. That's what I do. And before I take my last breath, I want to put it on paper, okay, for all of y'all to get $2 million for working with me on this case. So when the money come in, I might not be here, but y'all to get the money when they come in. And I want to build all the things we need for blacks. I'm working to put a black Wall Street here in Oakland, okay? And I'm speaking at a church here in Oakland on the second Sunday. And the pastor that let me speak for 20 minutes. Going to video everything. And I hope Mr. Marvell and the lawyer can come up from Sacramento to the meeting, be a part of this. It's going to be great. You'll be able to see and hear all the things I'm doing.
Well, Bishop, I appreciate the invitation, and I want you to get Double R the information and have him text it to me. The location, the time, and all of that. I know it's the second,
okay.
But I would need to get, you know, a little more detail. So you forward that information to Double R, and he'll text it to me, and I'll let you know. Now, I'm going to tell you, yesterday I got several calls from you, but I was in the middle of a crisis with one of our young people, and it was like one of them things, like I didn't want to mess with the flow with that. And I didn't mean to ignore calling you back. I apologize for that.
I apologize because I tell you what, I didn't understand you was big as y'all. Okay? No, I didn't. I've been listening, you know, but I didn't understand it. And I made up in my mind, and the Lord gave it to me. I want to put millions of dollars, which you've done, everything you're doing. I have been billions because I want to see radio and TV black spread all over America. Okay, and you can help be a part of, you can be a part of that and help and lead in that, because I'm not going to be able to do it. I want to put the money there for it. You know what I mean?
You're yes, picking sir. The right man. I can vouch for that, Bishop. You got good taste. Now, I know Brother Marvell and what you say about him. He bigger than he know he is. Our host with the most, you guys, is one brother, that man. He stand on what them kids say, business, right? And so I have to lift him up, encourage him, just like we said earlier in the show. We always got to inspire our brothers that are doing the work, man, because it ain't easy, and they don't get the pat on the back. They're not going to get the rose while they're living. And so we have to uplift our people when we get a chance. So, Bishop, I appreciate you speaking on a brother like that.
And I appreciate you, man. I thank God for you, because when you put me on the phone with him, you know, like I said, I didn't know who I was talking to. You know, and you had me talking
to
him. And I'm a good listener. That's when I find out a lot about it. I listen. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I thank God for it. Thank God for you, man. Okay. And I want to put on paper that y'all get so much money, billions, millions from this lawsuit going in court. Okay, and we need a team. If we're going to have if the lawyer take this case, Lawyer Dale, he's going to need a team around him. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Y'all that know him and close to him, help him with this case. It's probably, I'd like to have both of y'all. We'll be on the second Sunday in Humanity Baptist Church. I get that to you in Oakland, California.
Yeah, get that to Double R. Get that information to Double R, and he'll text me the details. And Bishop, let me tell you this: I'm warmed and I'm touched by what your proposal is to help our people. And you know, we have stages in our lives, and we get to a stage where it's called self-actualization stage, where your goal in your life now is to leave a legacy and to leave
That's
something
right.
behind that'll help our people. And I commend you for having that attitude, and it warms me and warms my heart to hear you say that's what you're planning to do, brother. And I appreciate you. You bigger than you think you are. All right. So Double R, do me a favor. Let me hear you commit that you're going to get that. Can I get a commitment that you're going to get that information to me about the bishop, where he's going to be speaking, and we can see if we can coordinate to get there and support him?
Absolutely, no problem. But better than that, he got your number, so he can direct it to you. You can cut out the middleman, but he can send it to me. I'll send it to you. Well, Bishop, you got Marvell number, right?
Okay, but cool. I was thinking he was like a Flintstone like me when it comes to this technology, right? But if a phone call to do it, then let's do it. Let's see if we can work it out to come
well,
and support that.
I have my system to take you there, time and address and everything. Okay.
Excellent. I'll let you know if I can work it out. I'll let you know if I can work it out, because you know I like to meet you in person, as a matter of fact, as well. So,
me too.
So yeah,
me too. I think we will ride down together and get Mark the Disciple and come with us, and we just make a little group journey and get Brother Sherman to ride with us, man.
Yeah, Brother Sherman.
to ride on down. It's the second Sunday. I'll take that Sunday and make it, you know, the brotherhood to go down and support Bishop.
I'm going to try to have the press there. They don't come out there. They don't like to give black news out, black doing something in the community.
We know that to be true.
Yes,
now, if we were shooting, cutting, and cussing, oh, they'd be out there in a minute.
I'm gonna have a copy of that case, but that was filed in 2004. I'm gonna have a copy of it now. It's on a VHS.
VHS.
Channel seven did a new thing on it, and they filmed me walking the railroad tracks in West Oakland in there. Okay, and so this is something, man.
Yes, sir. Right, yes, I see Brother Sherman and called back in, and I don't know if he wanted to get in. He know how to push the number one. I guess the number one ain't working, but I see he hung up and came back. Brother Sherman, I'm going to open the line up for you to go ahead and say if you had something to say. I just didn't want to exclude you, but include you.
Yes, I want to go.
Okay. He want to go on the second Sunday. You heard Brother Sherman. I'm tapped in, too. I want to go meet Bishop and just meet Bishop. We the work is going to get done, but I want to meet you. You know, brothers that come together in unity and in the spirit, nine times out of ten, they get work done. Nine times out of ten, because sometimes we get that one that just, you know. So I would like to meet you, sir, because you are a statue to me. Right. How they put them statues. You represent well living, good understanding. I heard you said you was in the union for 40 years. That wasn't easy for the times you come up in. So there's a lot you done been through that I recognize that you made it through, and God got the glory. That's all I can say.
Y'all, I have told so many testimonies. I walked behind a mule for 20 years, almost 20 years. I mean, from a little boy, everything, you know, and I loved it. Because I was there with my daddy and my family, I loved it. I've been a worker all my life, and I was civil rights working, started working civil rights when I was Dr. Martin Luther King back there, 1953. That's so much about that man that he did in Alabama that the world don't even know. That man walked in squares, walked in the square, 12 o'clock a lot of times, them little round square towns, took out his Bible and started speaking and everything. And people throw rocks and eggs and everything on him. He had some people out there with him that brought him in with him, but he wouldn't let him in the park. His main thing was delivering his message. They throw rocks and eggs and everything else on him. He just brush them off and keep right on speaking. That man had more nerve than any man anybody ever walked the earth besides Jesus. You hear me? I know that because I'm that messy. And he didn't go to just one route. One of those small towns, he went to a lot of them there in Alabama that I know of, and I know what he did. And when Rosa Parks in jail, they went and got her, brought her to church. And that civil rights movement of Dr. Martin Luther King, it didn't start in the community. It started in church. That boycott in 1955, he organized that in the church and took it to the community. That's the man he was.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for that.
And he was buying black people when he speak. He was buying them to keep their children at the field during school session. You know what I mean? Because I was one of those kids. They grew up with no education. You know what I mean? But I, my wife, as I got married, was my best school teacher I ever had. Okay. When I drove a truck for 40 years, she the one taught me and everything, how to pass that test. I learned her schooling and everything to take that test because they first denied me the test. I had to threaten them with a lawsuit for them to give it to me. Because I didn't know my high school diploma or no college work, everything. So I've been blessed. I'm enjoying it. Me and my wife, we've been together, you and us as well,
Bishop. You've been blessed, and your blessing is transmitted to us by you being able to give your report about things that we have no idea really happened, and you can bring that to the light, and we appreciate that, brother. So listen, we started talking about gratitude, right? And we started talking about the things that we're grateful for, right? And Bishop, you shared what you're grateful for, and we're opening it up for other people to share something that they're grateful for, and we're still opening up that line. So if anybody want to come in and talk about the joy of gratitude and the experience with something that helps them stay afloat and keeps them encouraged, please pour in right now. We're running out of time, and we want to hear from you.
You know what I would like? You know what I like? I've been on this journey all these years. I like for somebody to just ask me a question about what I'm doing and who I am. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
That makes me feel good. Somebody ask me a question. A lot of people talk about reparations, but they don't know nothing about it. I have it all. Money, gold, and land. All the gold was in the black bank. The politicians stole it, and the railroad people. The railroad people have always been in the White House. It was in 1865, getting the money. And when they got our money, part of our money from the government politicians, they spread the railroad tracks from coast to coast and set up slaves along the way from coast to coast. I have it all what they did. So I have it all, and I studied it all for years, and now I'm ready for them to pay for what they owe. They can't pay what they owe, but I want them to pay big time.
Well, you know what? You know what? When we make our trip, we can do like Money Griff did. Money Griff came here, and he brought folders with information that's so valuable, and he passed them out, right? Well, we don't maybe expect you to do the same, but when we come, if you could just share what we can have a copy of some of that vital information that you have, then we will be a little closer to being able to understand how we can help this situation. So
okay.
We're looking forward to make sure you you get that information, have your assistant text me all the details so we can prepare to come and support you and make that trip, okay?
Okay. This is small.
Okay,
church.
We're gonna move on. Let somebody else come in, Bishop, that's got a report about something that they're experiencing that they're grateful for.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Thank you.
Right on, brother. Right on.
I'm gonna kick back.
You'll kick back. Like that. Okay. Hey, you know what? You know what? Last couple of days though, we ain't heard from Money Griff. I'm gonna have to give him a call because we ain't heard. He ain't checked in. At least not to my recall. Did he check in yesterday? The answer is probably no.
No,
I don't remember him checking in yesterday.
Get in touch with him. Didn't he want to come up here? Because
I'm sure gonna call him after this program and see what's going on with him.
Yes, let's check on him. But I see Mama Chocolate done jumped in. Let's hear from the Queen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm down here in Sacramento. It's raining right now, but I'm glad to be here.
Ashe, all right now. Welcome on in. Welcome on in. Back on in on the turf. Now, look, you going to be here a minute?
Yes, I messed up because I had my days mixed up, and I thought I was going to come see our kids at this, at the meeting, but I got the date mixed up. But I still want to see who's ever available to see me today. I'm going to be here till tomorrow, but I would love to meet once again Mr. Marvell up close in person. I want to see him, and I want to tap in with you too, Brother Tim. Ashe.
Okay. So I'll be out at Grant High School later on. So before I go there, I got to run to North Natomas. And so while I'm out, I'll call you and see where he is. I might just have to give you a hug and keep moving, but at least I'll check in
That's
with you.
Okay, for sure. That's all right. That's what I need. I need a hug.
All right, all right. Yeah. Hey, so you're listening to the Wise Words of One Go Show, man. We tapped in. Hope that you're tapped in. We was talking to Bishop, and I see that the brothers, like me and Sherman, want to go meet Bishop, man. We want to. So one thing I know and two things for sure. I said one thing I know. And two things for show is that when brothers come together in love, we can work all things out. And so I love the energy that our brothers who don't even know each other, you see where I'm excited to go meet this man. Serious business, right? And so I hope you feel that way too when you come in counter with people like-minded that's moving the needle, that's pushing for positive. Man, let me pass this mic because I'm overjoyed and I'm probably babbling at your mouth. Marvell?
Okay, so back to gratitude. We were hoping that we would get some volunteers. However, there's no shortage of gratitude despite the fact that our people are not sharing it. We know that they're feeling it, just probably not feeling the compulsion to put it out there. But I'm going to say something else, of gratitude from the deepest part of me about, and I'm going to share this as well. Tim and I were having a conversation about how we're interpreted by the youth that we work with. And I didn't know, and it didn't dawn on me that the youth are looking at me when I talk about the issues that I talk about, which is mostly talking about drug usage and talking about emotional intelligence and about, you know, the issues of anger and resentment and envy that seems to permeate our society so readily. When I talk about these things, especially about the drugs, the youth were, I didn't know that they were saying, man, I don't know if I want to listen to him. He ain't never used no drugs. We're looking at him, he's 70 years old, and he don't look like he never done nothing. And I'm saying, oh, I didn't know that. So Tim made me do an expose the other day in front of the youth group, and there I saw their heads go back. When I started telling them that I would start using drugs and I was 12 years old, I drank alcohol and then smoked weed, then sniffed glue, then drank cough syrup, then shot heroin and was in the detention home, balled up on a cement slab, sick at 17 years old from having a heroin habit, got out, started shooting pills, shooting cocaine, smoking cocaine, anything to get you high. And when I said that, they were like, oh, whoa. And so what I was concerned about was that I don't want them to look at me and say, oh, he did all that and he came out all right. So I guess in the back of my mind, that was a concern. But it was important to let it be known that this is my history and this is my experience. So what Tim and I are going to express the next session is how we are grateful not just for who and where we are now,
but that God, I said,
come on.
God
come
chose
on.
Us to do what we do and meet our assignment. God
yes,
assigned us, and we're being obedient to our assignment because he saved us in order for us to be able to be these examples. He saved us for us to be able to carry this message. And everybody ain't going to be able to do this. It's not many who have survived what we have survived and able to do what we do through the Spirit of God. So I just want to let it be known that I am grateful. I am forever grateful for what God has brought me to understand about myself.
Come on.
And giving me the power and giving me the energy and giving me the willingness to share whatever I can to help somebody so they don't have to experience what I experienced because it is not necessary. It is not necessary for anyone to go through what we went through to get to where we are now. It is not necessary.
God damn.
So I'm grateful.
I love this show. I love my people. I love my people. You hear me? This is my medicine. We are our own medicine. God give us the spirit of love, man, compassion.
Amen.
Man. Bishop, I can't wait to meet you, Bishop. And so I believe in everything you're saying. It ain't for the money for me. It's to know you. I want to know you before you, so you can give me some of that wisdom. Because I need it to be passed on so I can pass it on. And the work that I do, I sure wish you was in Sacramento because I have kids that you can sit down and at least do a 30-minute talk, a Q&A, so they can see somebody from back yonder that know the truth and give them the truth. I give them what I
give
got.
Give me a time and I'll come down.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Hey, and watch out, bro. Hey, Bishop is clean. When you see him, boy, I touch his feet every time. He got a suit on that he don't never wear twice. And them shoes, boy, you better watch out with that hat on. Yeah, hey,
yes,
when them youngsters ain't ready for that smoke. Them youngsters ain't ready for that smoke. Get them, Bishop.
Yes. So yeah, Bishop, I have to get you down in here, man. And we'll make it a daytime. We'll pull a Saturday and go to our classroom. We don't just have to be at the Obama room. We can pull a Saturday and go to our classroom where we have plenty of room to sit back and enjoy each other, eat a meal, break bread, learn to tie, and get you in front of them. And, man, I think that would be a good session just to have our young men to experience. So, like, when you give that information to Marvell, you can also give me that information, or Marvell can pass it. I don't need a middleman. I can give you my number. You can give me your number. I can get your number. And we got to make these dots connect, right? And so... I appreciate you, Bishop. Let me go on and pass that mic. Marvell?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. So, again, Money Griff ain't checked in a couple of days. Who else? Let me see. I have a couple of reports. And I like to think that I like to be able to say that I have more patience. However, Tuesday, after the Saturday meeting for reparations, sponsored by the, I guess it's a new movement for Sacramento alone, or aside from the state movement, and that's primarily what it was about. But we talked about both, and then at the end, I did a presentation about how to carry the message and get people more aware of it. And Chris Lodgson echoed that and came to me and said, look, we got to get together and talk more in-depthly about it. Because, see, what he heard me say was that I'm going to launch this myself if I have to. I'm going to launch a campaign to raise the awareness myself if I have to. And what I was suggesting to him is that if you're not on board with it, okay, I don't understand why you're not. And I don't understand why you're not getting that league with me for it. But if you don't, oh well. But he came to me and said that he would get together. We get together, and we designated for Tuesday. So Tuesday, I called him and asked him what time, and I told him, he said we're after 5. Okay, anytime after 5. So when I told him, I said, well, I have a school commitment, and I get out of there at 5. So, cool, let's do that. Then he texted me and said, look, after 7:30. So I said, oh, okay. So at 7:20, I was with the youth healing circle, and he called me. So I stepped outside, and I found out that, okay, I'm in this session, and I'll call you when I come out. But we had a lightweight crisis. I told him I'd call him at 7:35 or 7:40, but it went on to like 8 o'clock. So I called him at 8 o'clock, no answer. Texted him, no answer. Texted him again. And the last time I texted him, I said, nothing, huh? And I ain't heard nothing since. So the report that I'm making is that I'm still going to take it upon myself, and I'm going to use some creative methods to get this message out into the community, or get it out into our group, that this is something it's important for us to be at least be aware of, be curious about, or be looking forward to. Pick one of those categories, but the least we could do is give you an option to make a decision either way, and that's coming from marketing. And so that's what I'm committed to do, is to put that out there. Another report that I have is that we were anticipating hearing from Camilla Moore. She's one of the institutors of the reparations movement. And we were told that she had a willingness to come on this program and give us some clarity about the details that we might be curious about. And I haven't heard anything more on that. And I think I'll just have to push a little harder to get a response and see when we can schedule that. But I had announced that it's a potential for that to happen, as well as with Flo Kofer. We were anticipating her coming on as well. So I'm going to give another push to see if we can get a response and get a scheduled time for these two young ladies to come on and give us some insight about what they're doing with the project of reparations and what she's planning to do when she becomes the mayor. And in response to a lot of things that we're inquiring about for our group in this city. So those are the two main reports that I wanted to make before we end this session. And
thank you.
If anybody else has anything to add, I'd appreciate hearing it.
Thank you. We appreciate that information. And yeah, let's reach back out to these women, because it'll be a good topic to talk about with, you know, both of them, what she's going to do for reparations and what she's going to do as mayor, right? Two young sisters, too. I love it. So without further ado, man, let me give y'all some of this, man, because this is a radio show. God dog it.
One look at you, and it was plain to see you were my destiny.
With arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I'll sacrifice for you, dedicate my life to you. I will go where you lead.
Come on, baby.
Always there in time.
Tammy and Marvin. You're all I need right here on The Wise Word with One Gun Show. Hey, we all we need. We got the Spirit of God. We all we need, man. It is The Wise Words with One Gun Show. I'm checking in with Mark the Disciple. Mark, what's going on, man?
Yes, sir, my brother. I'm excited, man. I'm ready to go down there with you guys when you go. So keep me in the know. And where's Mother Chocolate at today? I'll go by and give her a hug.
There she is. She on that line. I got somebody calling from the 279. Good morning to you. Is that Reb? Okay, they hung up. Okay, so it is a Wise Words One Gun Show, and I wanted to play that song, man, because y'all I need, man, you know. We need each other, man. We need each other, and these kids need to see that we need each other so they'll need each other. Because right now they're tearing each other up, right? And then the ones that aren't even in the gangs, they so on the sideline being curious that even our innocence start to fade away. So we really got to get out here with our boots laced up and our mouthpiece right with positive messages for our young folks' ears. So they can ear hustle about this real that we live, right? And so it is the Wise Words of One Gun Show. We got some wise words. It's Thankful Thursday. And, guys, I'm thankful. Marvell.
Go right ahead.
I want to say that I'm thankful, first of all, for waking up this morning. Sometimes we think that our problems are way bigger than what we, you know, what they are when you have another person that's got a problem way bigger than yours. So even though I have problems, I am thankful that God woke me up. I'm thankful that I'm learning to get through whatever these situations that I'm going through.
Come on.
I am glad that I am pouring into kings and queens that have the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I just want to grow with this. And then before I leave Sacramento, Mr. Poole, is there a way that we can have like a Blog Talk Radio reunion? You know what I mean? Where everybody, we come together and we have a luncheon or something with all of our Blog Talk Radio people, family.
Yeah, but the thing about that, we got people all over the United States. You talking about the ones that's close around?
Yeah, the ones that's I would say the main listeners, that ones that chime in on a daily. If you know, if somebody
Double R in L.A., baby. Look,
okay,
Double R
is
in his car, but he in L.A., baby.
Right. We figure it out. But I want to cook. You know, I told y'all I'm into the culinary thing, and so I got a mean. I know you do cooking too, Mr. Poole. But I got a mean potato salad, and can't, I'm gonna say this: I'm popping my collar on that, and a bad fried chicken with my own sauce twist to it. My barbecue fried chicken. I'm gonna pop my collar. So I may have something for you and Marvell today and Rev today.
Giving away.
If I can get to a kitchen, I say.
Okay. So what's
where you at now?
I said, Rev, you on the air?
No, that's Mark the Disciple.
Oh, Mark the Disciple. So I cook. I'm I am expanding. I'm trying to get my license going for the Mom and Son's Catering. And moving forward, I have a mean potato salad, and I make a mean fried chicken, barbecue fried chicken. And so I'm going to hopefully meet Brother Marvell, and I'll see Brother Tim today too. But I want to bless him with some of my good food.
Well, where are you at?
So watch this. We don't have to break away from nothing. We got a camping and fishing derby coming on the 24th, 25th, and 26th of May. That's the 24th, 25th, and the 26th of May. We can all get together right there, right there. You just got to pay to park, but everything else is free, you know.
Okay.
Come kick it with us, and y'all can go on home if you, unless you want to stay on the campground. You bring your tent, you know, do what you're going to do. But if you're just coming out for the day, it's on me. Because there's going to be so much food and so much everything, and the love going to be there. So all you just got to do
right.
is show up. So
we ain't
got to make no special day. We got all kind of day. Or you can come to the skating ring on family skate night. Come on
in.
You see what I'm saying? We got somewhere where we can meet and eat and greet.
Okay.
Let me turn this mic off, man.
All right. That sounds good.
Today.
So, Brother Marvell, I will see you sometime today. I'm about to go to a kitchen and get my cook on. And then when I'm done, I will tap in with you, Brother Marvell, and Brother Tim. I don't know how long you're going to be when you go to Grant, you know, because I'm kind of like in that area right now. So I don't know what it is, what's going down at Grant. But once again, I want to see you too, Brother Ashe.
Sounds good. And Brother Mark, the disciple, he steady asked him, where you going to be?
Is Mark the disciple here in Sacramento?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to bless you, too. I'll bless you, too. I want to meet you, too.
But I still need to know where at.
Okay, let me get the cook on first, and then I'll have Brother Tim give you my number. And then I'll just close location, and then we'll go in from there.
All right.
Okay.
See the love I'm speaking of? See how quick that happens? It's needed, y'all, not just in Sacramento, not just in Oakland, not just in L.A., not just in Las Vegas, not in Houston, Baton Rouge, Mississippi. It's all over. The devil is out here trying to devour us. But when we come together, look at the joy. Man, the people laughing and joy is on this line. Y'all better say thank you on this thankful Thursday. This is what God do for us. It's small to some, but it's big to me. And I'm going to get the mic up because y'all know how I get excited about what God doing in my life.
I took a little time to contact Griff. I talked to him briefly. I didn't go in depth, but I wasn't really impressed with the sound of his voice. It sounds like he's going through something. So I'm gonna find out what's going on, because I don't want to divulge. You know, if he had told me just now, I would still have to ask his permission. So I'm gonna find out what's going on, and then report whatever he feels comfortable to report to you guys tomorrow. Because it's just not the same without some of our members chiming in, right? And when I don't hear, because I told him this, I said, man, you know what? I realized that if something were to happen to you, there would be no way for me to find out. Maybe Facebook, get a surprise on Facebook, because a lot of times that's what happens with people where I came from in Cleveland. I don't get people calling me up to say, hey, man, did you hear about such and such and such and such? I just ain't that kind of dude. People don't call me on social. They call me when they have challenges, right? So I told him the same thing. I got my partner from way back that if something were to happen to him, there's no way I would know about it because there's no conduit that he's designated to say, okay, look, call Marvell if I'm not able to. So that's what I told Griff. I said, man, there's no way we would know if anything happened to you, right? And so he said, yeah, I'm okay. You know, we'll talk later. And it was kind of droll, you know, droll, G-R-O-L-L. It was kind of like lackluster, right? So I'm gonna call him and find out what's going on, because, you know, he high energy, too. Just like Tim said yesterday, when I came in and my energy was low, it was an alert to him, say, ho, something's going on. So I'm going to do the same with Griff and find out what's going on with him. So, but otherwise, as Tim said, you know, the joy is in the undercurrent, right? And all we get to do is peel away all the obstacles
and we'll get to the joy. And once there, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun to be in a state of joy and sharing it with someone else. When two or more experiencing that, then it becomes contagious.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Yes, sir. There's something contagious, don't it, Bishop? It's got a catchy flavor to it, don't it?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Right on.
You have to have that joy. Joy will keep me going, man. Joy will keep me moving.
Yes, sir. Yes, so we got Rev on here, Rev.
Yeah,
I didn't want to let us get off the air without you getting on. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir. God bless you all. I was at the chiropractor getting almost my second to my last appointment, getting it up in there, you know. And I wanted to give my little humor about a chiropractor, masseuse, and all that other stuff. You get to feel it like it's like a crackhead goes through stuff in life, and he kicks his addiction. Now you just be urgent for another chiropractor. You be like, hey, wait a minute. Can I come in and get another back crackhead? But then look. I caught the ending of this conversation. You're talking about how you feel joy and peace on the when you're doing good. But we gotta hit like that song. You remember that song? Joy and pain. Lord, we'll feel the sunshine through your rain. Can we sing it, children? That joy will have pain. Lord, we'll enjoy your sunshine. And this rain, ain't it raining today in Sack of Potatoes?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's raining,
yeah.
Jack.
And we're going to enjoy that just like we're going to enjoy the 110-degree weather in the summertime. And we're enjoying all this time that we're fighting for the reparation, that we sharing all our pains and agonies and our woes and our headaches and our stresses and our fears and our worries. So just knowing that we got to keep enjoying everything that God has for us because it's part of God's plan. That's going to be my ending quote all the time. Because nobody wants what we got right now. Everybody wants something better, a little extra reparation, at least text $10, another EDD situation, something, give a brother some money. But at the end of the day, we're still happy, we're still joyful, we're still at our own peace. Well, if we let the devil take over and whatever else he has done for us, that's when we leave all these stations and everywhere else in this form of depression and worry and fear again. Can't do that. Find that joy, and I digress.
Find that joy. Yes, sir.
It's there.
Hey, so you know what? I feel the spirit. I hope you feel the spirit. You know, a dear mentor of mine told me, you know, when it's raining and it's gloomy, so does the, your attention span. Your joy gets dim when it gets rainy outside and it gets cloudy. But when the sun come out, boy, you sparkling and you fresh. Well, I'm going to tell y'all, I beg to differ. It's raining outside, man. I got that joy pouring through my vein, man, and I'm filled with it, man. Ain't nothing like a natural high, man. See, I enjoy my natural high because, you know, after going through a lot, being where I come from, killing my own self, destroying my community, for God to put his hand on me and do what he done, man, my worst day right today ain't as bad as my good days when I was in them streets. I'm going to tell y'all, because I didn't have
Amen.
This peace that my brother Mark
Amen.
Was talking
Amen.
About.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brother Mark gave me the word today, peace. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Bishop.
Yes,
Bishop. You know something about that peace, Bishop?
Yes, indeed. I've been through hell and hot water, but I've never been scalded.
Amen. You're supposed to walk through that furnace.
And get Shaq and that bad Negro.
Yeah,
Amen.
You got to walk through that furnace
Amen.
In order to go jump into the well to cool off a little bit. Then you creep back through the highways and byways and tribulation, everything through the valley of the shadow of death. We got to go through that. If you ain't made it through none of that, get off of this line. I'm just saying, though, because you're about to walk outside and feel something. We got to get some of this. That's where the pain comes in. That's where your testimony come in. I got so many artists, I'm about to do some music with somebody all the way in Africa. You hear me? That's how technology is right now. And just letting them feel what we're going through no matter who we are. That's it. We got to start coming together and understanding what everybody's going through. You know what I mean? It's going to be some pain, but that's what creates our music, our movies, our books. If you ain't got none of that, everybody got a fairy tale kind of a story. We got to have something. Somebody made it through something in order to show somebody else something else. And I say black, we uphold it the highest. Really? We hold it the highest, and that's a blessing. You know? That's why I look at my folks differently, like, wow, you've been through that? I ain't never been through that. Let's make a movie. Because it's that easy. If you got a good enough testimony, you got a movie. That's all I'm saying. I got one.
Ashe.
Me too.
Yeah, that's right. Call me. If you got one, call me on the phone.
Here we go. We got 2 minutes left in this show, man. It's been a beautiful show. But I want Bishop to close this thing out, and then I want him to pray us out. We got 90 seconds, Bishop.
Okay. All right. I want to tell y'all, I enjoy this so much, and I enjoy y'all so much. I thank God for you. God is doing something, you know, in my life. And Jesus, he said, he told me once I was dying in the bed, so you'll never have anything to worry about. He touched me. At that time, I didn't have no blood fusion or nothing. No blood running to me. I couldn't even, they had me packed in cold water, and I wasn't cold because I had no feeling that time. But when Jesus touched me, he gave me an operation of blood transfusion, of blood and everything all through my body, new blood. You know, see, that's how God is, and that's what he done for me. And told me, he said, you will never, ever have to worry about anything else again. That's in the Bible. Never, ever in the Bible. Worry about anything else again. He said, because I anointed you when you was in your mother's womb. I don't tell people who I am, for they wouldn't believe me, for they didn't believe Jesus who he was. But I'm an apostle. I have power. God give me power to do the things I'm doing. Let us pray. Our Father, God in heaven, Lord God, we thank and praise you in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord God, for all these people on the Marvel show and Lord, and all the work that he and others is doing. Lord, thank you what it means to the black community. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that you take it further. Lord, bless each and every one, Lord. Give them strength, Lord, and carry, Lord. Give them traveling grace, Lord, to and fro. Lord, bless them, Lord, each and every day. And right now, Lord, touch in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you and bless all my family, me and my wife. Lord, you blessed us for, to be together for 65 years. Lord, continue to bless us. Lord, my first school teacher, Lord. Thank God for that. And all my family. And my 10 children, Lord. Bless them. Grandchildren. Great grandchildren. And all them to come, Lord. Bless all the African American, Lord. All the world. Bless America. Bless them, Lord. All the black people in the world. Touch them, Lord. Touch America. They don't know who you are. In the name of Jesus, I pray to God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And amen.
went back down to the home church. Big Time Missionary Church of God in Christ. Where my best friend Ricky's grandmother was a missionary there. She loved to glorify God, yes she did. All the saints have come together to celebrate our 84th birthday. Now listen, Mother May leaves to praise God, dancing all over the church, but to my surprise, she's been confined to a wheelchair. Mother May Lee Brewster had been battling diabetes for the last 7 years. She had both of her legs amputated on him. As I watched her in that chair, let me tell you tonight, it was a little hard, because Maylee Bruce was a praise and worship leader before praise and worship became popular. She didn't mind giving God glory. As I looked in her eyes, she looked at me and Rick and said, boys, don't you worry, Mother Maylee is gonna be alright. Around that time, Ricky's eyes filled with water. She said, boy, stop crying. As long as I've got breath in my body, I'll give him glory. Looked up at me and said,
listen, Marvell, hey, remember you was telling me how when the sun is gone, sometimes we be in a gloom?
Yeah.
Man, I'm not in the gloom today, man. For some reason, the joy that I felt last night carried on till today, man. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Mark the Disciple, I see you still there. Double R, I see you still there. And Reb, I see you still there. Mama Chocolate,
hey,
I see
Tim,
you
I got
still
a
there. Yeah, huh?
I got a request, man. I need you to play I Understand by Smokey Norfolk.
I understand. I got you. All right. Hey, let me give y'all this right here, man.
Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We working with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit. Overflow.
Hallelujah.
By the God of your salvation right now. Hallelujah.
Let your glory overflow and your presence take control. Lord, this is what I want you to do.
Do it in my life, please. Do it in my life.
second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before, to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in need. I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. Doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong, the feelings of guilt, hurt, shame and defeat, the ways of trials that beat upon me, but to know, Lord, that in you not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day. Oh, oh Lord. Please make a way. Oh, Lord.
I need you now. Double R asked for this one, and Mark asked for this one from Smokey Nofer. I understand. I check with Brother Marbella and find out what he will need.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for my. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord I see.
Sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told I won't forget, nor have I forgot. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me, I got the whole world in my hands.
Gospel Hour, man, on Wise Words and What Goes Show. That's why I do what I do after the show, man. God is so good that he is just too good. Let's keep the worship going right here on the Gospel Hours.
Father, we want to see your hand. Father, do something you've never done before. Surprise us, God.
Hello, Mama. Hello, Mama.
I can't imagine. you, Father.
Ears have not heard.
Lift it up.
Blow my mind. Blow my mind.
Can you lift just one hand and just say that into your own atmosphere? Blow my mind.
Blow my mind.
We want to see miracles done, yeah.
Blow my mind.
Do the impossible, Jesus. Do the impossible.
Do the impossible.
Now you know what I want to say. Blow. My God,
Jesus,
do something you've never done before, God.
Blow my mind.
Yes, God, yeah.
Blow my mind.
Do the impossible. Now this is the good news.
God can do anything. God can do anything.
You gotta believe this.
God can do anything.
Thank you, Father. I already see it.
God can do anything.
Ah, can we raise that sound everywhere?
God can do anything.
You played for me. God played that song for me one day. I was, matter of fact, I had just left my fourth wife, and I was feeling real down, and bad about a whole lot of things. And I began to question God once again when I stopped that. And so God just, I got on the bus that day, and they played that song on the bus. And, man, it just did something to me, and it let me know that God understands what we're going through. Some of the things that we go through are predestined for us to go through. And once we get through those things and begin to understand it, well, like I said before, we understand why we're going through it, then we understand as we're coming out of it. And once we get out of it, we overstand it. And that's what causes us not to go back through it again. So God is good, my brother, and I'm thankful for God and his blessings.
Ashe. Brother Marvell, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so what are you thankful for?
Man, look. Hey, I had to be grateful that I understand that gratitude is the one size fit all. So anytime I'm feeling like I'm going through something, or I feel like things not going my way, or I feel like what's the use, then I can draw from gratitude because of we always say this, and we say it together, man. You know, whatever I'm going through now, there was a time when I wish I had this to go through. It's like, yeah, give me that. What? You got to take this or that? Give me that. You know, so just knowledge and gratitude itself, man, the willing, you know, the awareness that you know, we can always find the upside, right, if we choose to. A lot of times I sulk and I lay in it for a minute. It's like I'm putting myself on punishment and think somebody else, you know, I got myself on punishment, but I think somebody else don't feel it, you know, because I'm bathing in some kind of misgiving or something like that. But, you know, bottom line is, man, having the ability to reach for gratitude as a lifeline, I'm grateful for that knowledge and awareness. And that's what I see the young people, man, they're not getting that part. And it's sad for me. They're not getting that part, that gratitude, man. You know, they don't have it. They don't seem to recognize the power of gratitude, man. And if they don't recognize that, then they don't recognize what they have to contribute to make things better, man. They're just only looking out for what makes them feel good and not nobody else. So that's what I grapple with, man, and just having that awareness to help them to be able to see a little better how important it is for them to be grateful for what people have to offer them, or what God is spiriting through them. But they're getting farther and farther away from it, to me, man. So, yeah, but now I'm just grateful for the knowledge and the awareness that gratitude is has a healing quality, man.
Ashe. Double R, are you still in the car?
Still rolling, man, loving them tunes, my brother. Man, I'm grateful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, man, and the joy of that. And my joy is Jesus, others, and yourself. And that's what this program is about. I yield.
Ashe. Brother Reb, are you there? Reb, are you there? We'll continue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. At 5 seconds of yes, it's a blessing just to know that God woke me up. And it was a weird way. You know, I had to get locked up to find him. And I had to go under whatever condition in life to make sure that I was true for him. That we all get to go through whatever. And I didn't go through nothing all my life. That's why it's like I cry even on the radio. Don't bother me, because I went through so much that I can let this out. And it'd be tears of joy. I ain't feeling nothing. You feel me? So it's a blessing that God woke me up to do what I'm doing. I'd have never spoke out this way back in L.A. on the whatever radio station that was back in there. Because he's built us up for this. We had to go through our own. And think about this year compared to the year when David picked up that rock and hit Goliath. We ain't had no AK-47s. We ain't had no Glocks. We ain't had none of that. We had a rock. Rocks became what? Then some swords up in there. Cain and Abel started with a rock. Then some swords up in there. You say, get them. He say, go use them. Use them. Protect yourself. Don't bother me. Don't have nobody bother me. And I tell people that all the time. Don't carry no gun to use for me. If you're protecting yourself, cool. Don't use it for me. But I'm thankful that God's let me reach out to so many different kind of people. Because I walked alone. I was Bambi just doing me all my life. And God woke me up. I had to get in everybody's business. Like, what you doing? What's going on? Let's make this better. You cutting. You wounded. So I'm thankful for this whole long mission that I'm on. No matter where I go, how I get there, who I can connect with, whether on here, God's Real Talk TV, or wherever I can reach through into the world. I'm not just looking at Sacramento. So I'm thankful. That's my biggest word right there. And I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful for everybody that he's put in my close connection of people. I digress.
God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Your heavenly language all over this room. Grande me cosiana. Tonight, our prayer is that you would settle here. We have some particular places that we need you to settle. Some of us need you to settle in our hearts. Some of us need you to settle in our houses. Oh God, oh God, this is our prayer tonight. You refine Lord, purify our hearts, Lord, sanctify my heart, Lord, sanctify my heart, Lord, Ronama.
just lonely down here. And I've been just going through the pain.
You're my savior.
It's not about me.
And And I hunger.
I hunger every day.
I hunger.
Come on, more.
For your love.
All of your love.
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Then here come my blessings. Ain't no need for stressing in my life. My enemies, they might form weapons. Yeah, but I know I'm protected by the blood, protected by the love of God. Grace and mercy, all his favor. Take me higher, just like that grave. And every time I turn on, oh,
It's the Gospel Hour with DJ Wendo, serving Sacramento with the best of gospel music.
Sacramento Bee. Daryl, say hello to the listening audience.
Hello, everyone. Daryl Smith, the Sacramento Bee.
All right. And so, Daryl, I'll talk to you soon. Hey, so God is good all the time, and all the time God just hung up on Daryl. Hey, my bad, Daryl. But Daryl is talking about the A's coming to Sacramento. And since we have a youth group, he wanted to hear how I felt about it. I said, well, you need to go talk to the baseball presidents of Little League because they deal with that. I deal with the youth. But the real connection, see, I don't need to be on the news and in the newspaper. I ain't for the glory. I'm for the story, man. I'm for the story. I'm not for the glory, man. I want to see that the investment that we each give to our young folks, that they utilize that and give us a return. That's from Marvell. Anyway, it's the Gospel Hours, man. I'm finna get out of here, man. I ain't got nothing to do with. Oh, yeah, I got to go to Grant, man. I almost felt like I didn't have nothing to do but praise God the rest of the day, right? But, yeah, I'll see y'all on the other side tomorrow, man. God bless you, and I'll talk to you more sooner than later or whenever it's clever. Peace, y'all. Peace.